Well, good morning, everyone. It's a bit funny. I'm in a empty room here, but I know there's a lot of you on there. I guess I don't think I'm speaking out of school when I say we're living in some pretty unsettling times at the moment. And I guess singing that song is quite a helpful reminder that because Jesus lives and He does live. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow and face today. I guess I'm pretty confident that no one listening has gone through anything that's quite like this, at least not to this worldwide sort of scale. And there's not much about the near future that we're sure of. I'm sure I don't need to go through all the list of uncertainties because I'm sure that you're all very well aware of them yourselves. Only a short month ago, life was pretty much as per normal. But now we've been plunged into unknown, uncertain. And I guess a perfectly natural response to all this change that's sort of thrust upon us in such a great big hurry is fear. I'd be lying if I said that I've been a serene embodiment of peace and calm over the last couple of weeks. I guess fear in these sort of circumstances, it's just human. But for those of us who follow Jesus, I guess the question is, what are we going to do with that fear? Yeah, it's something that our flesh is going to generate, and it's up to us. And if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're following Jesus, what are we going to do with it? How are we supposed to process it? It's something that I've been working through myself over the last couple of weeks. I mean, this message is just as much for me as it is for anybody else. And so I thought it'd be helpful to talk about that this morning. I know last week Pastor Tony said I'd be covering Jesus' conversation with Zacchaeus today, but I thought it would be more timely to talk about what we can do with the fear that we might be feeling this morning. And to talk about it, I want to open up Psalm 46. I don't know if you've got a Bible handy with you or whether you just have a device with you where you can open it up in another window or something like that, but if you could open up Psalm 46 so that you can look at it for yourself, I think that'd be great. And as we go through it, the psalm is going to give us three reminders that will help us to fight fear in fearful times. I guess what I'm going to say now, it's probably more a few devotional thoughts from Psalm 46 rather than a good exposition of it, but I think it's what's helpful for me now, and so hopefully it's helpful for you. But before we get into it, let me pray. Heavenly Father, You know the times that we're in. I haven't caught You by surprise. But we thank You that You have given us, You've already given us what we're going to need to get through. We thank You that You've given us Your Word, which tells us what we need to know, everything we need to know for life and godliness in any time. And we thank You that You've given us Your Spirit, which speaks to us the things that we need to hear. But most of all, we thank You for Jesus, that because He lived and died, we can face tomorrow. And so, Father, as we open up Your Word now, I pray that You would speak words into our hearts which are going to help us to face today and tomorrow and the next couple of weeks and months. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Psalm 46. We don't know too much about why or when this psalm was written. It says it was written by the sons of Korah. But maybe the psalmist was facing their own fearful situation. And in a moment of divine clarity, God has inspired their response to fear. What was the God-breathed response? It starts in verse 1. The psalmist starts off saying, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. So the divinely inspired response to fear is to remember. The first thing God wants us to remember is who God is, what sort of God he's like. Here the psalmist remembers that God is a refuge for him, that God is a strength for him. God is a helper to be found in times of trouble. Maybe in this divine moment he reflects back on the other difficulties that he's faced in life, other fearful situations, and he's remembered that in those situations God was there with him when he ran to him. And when he ran to him, he found shelter and safety. When he found himself feeling weak, when he ran to God, he found strength. When he found himself in the middle of troubling times, when he reached out to God, he found God and found him to be a helper. And that there had been no time of trouble, it was too troublesome, that God wasn't able to help him. So the psalmist stopped for a moment and remembered God. He remembered those things. And having remembered God, he was able to say that he could face the most fearful situation that he could imagine. Read verse 2 and 3 with me, where he says, because God is a refuge and strength and a helper in times of trouble, therefore we will not be afraid. Even though the earth trembles and the mountains topple into the depths of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with its turmoil. Because he remembered who God is and who God is for him, the psalmist says, we will not be afraid. Even in the most horrific situation, even in a situation where creation itself is being uncreated, mountains crashing in back into the chaotic sea that God brought them out of on the third day. And even though that is happening, he won't be afraid, because he knows even in that situation, God is big enough and strong enough to safely get him home. It's kind of like when Paul says in 2 Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard what's been entrusted to me until that day he comes back and takes me home. So the first place the psalm goes in responding to a fearful situation is to remember God. And in these times, it's an important word for us. In these times, it's easy to be distracted from that. It just feels natural to want to keep watching the news and the updates as they roll in, hoping that amongst all the bad news, that there's just a glimmer of hope in there. It's easy to focus on all the opinions and theories that people have about what's going on. You look and see the headlines and see the words like, you know, horrific and terrifying, and it just gets you in your gut. It might even be easy for you just to pretend that nothing's really going on and just to flick on Netflix or go into the shed and pretend nothing's happening and hoping it's all going to go away. You know, they're all different ways of coping with and managing fear, but if we're going to deal with fear God's way, the psalmist knows that the way we actually tackle fear is to remember God, to remember what he's been like in your life, to remember all that he's done for you. Why don't you take a moment now to reflect on your life? Reflect on some of the troubled times that you've been through. And as you reflect on them, remember how God was good to you during those times. I can think of a number of times in the past, times where for various reasons I was afraid, where I was simply too weak, simply unable to cope with things that I had to deal with. And looking back on those times now in hindsight, what do I say about them? God was a refuge for me in those times. God was my strength in those times when I had none of my own. God helped me. And as I reflect on the ways that he did help me, he revealed himself as an infinitely powerful helper who was able to help in even the most amazing ways I couldn't even imagine. And I hope if you've walked with Jesus for some time, that's your experience as well. If it is, remember. And also let this other verse be a comfort to you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. the situation that we find ourselves in now, it might have changed. The situation is probably different to anything you've ever experienced before. And everything is changing day by day. We don't know where it's going to end up. But God hasn't changed. God will never change. Just as he's been a helper to you in the past, he will continue to be a helper to you to get through this. Certainties about what the near future might look like, they've gone. We don't know. But God hasn't. He's still here. He's always ready to be found when you turn to him. He's been good to you before. He will still be good to you. And in this new situation, he might just show you new ways, new aspects of his infinite goodness. Because he's still who he's always been, who he always ever will be. Has he been gracious to you in the past? Has he treated you better than what you've deserved? Remember those times. He is still gracious. Being gracious is just a part of who he is. He hasn't decided to deny himself for this time. Have you ever felt his mercy towards you? Have you ever felt like he hasn't given you the bad stuff that you know you deserve? Again, remember those times. God is still merciful. It's who he is. He is unable to deny himself. All through the Bible, God has been a God who seeks us, even when we don't seek him. He seeks us that he might pour out his blessing on us. He seeks us that he might save us. Save us from many things. But at least one of those things that he comes to save us from is our fears. Even now, he, in the midst of so much uncertainty, he is seeking to save us if we remember him, turn to him, pour out our hearts to him. Just ask him for his salvation from our fears. Now, I'm not perfect. These things that I'm saying, they just don't come easily. They don't come naturally. I mean, they come a bit easier than what they have before, but that's God's grace in me, not me. And so I'm thankful for that God does that work in me, but they're still not natural. Our flesh wants to fixate on the difficulties. Our flesh wants to fixate on uncertainties. Everything in our flesh wants to cry, is crying out to us. Be worried. Be afraid. Fear. Our flesh is at war with our spirit. You know, I know it. I feel it. And at those times when our flesh is fighting so hard against us to say fear, it just seems crazy. A little bit crazy just to stop and say, well, I might not know what the future holds, but I know the one who holds the future. And he's good. And he's powerful enough to work out his plans for good. Over and over again, he's shown me that I can trust him to get me through. It doesn't come naturally to remember God, but he is our hope, and he is the hope who will not fail. And it's remembering God, remembering who he is, what he's done, and importantly, in times like this, remembering who he is for us. It's remembering him that gives us the strength to face the fear when it rises. It's remembering him that gives us hope for tomorrow, whatever it may bring. It's remembering the perfect love that he has for us, that he's demonstrated to us in so many ways. His perfect love drives out fear. I read this in Paul Tripp's devotional called A Shelter in a Time of Storm. It's on this theme. It was a great comfort for me this week, so I just thought I'd share it as well. So Paul Tripp writes in it, "We are secure in fearful situations, not because we have control or understanding. We're secure even though we are weak, imperfect, and short-sighted. We're secure for one reason and one reason alone. God exists, and He is your Father. He will never leave your side. He will never fail to provide. He will make good on everything that He's promised, and He has the power to do so. He is Lord. When the fear starts to rise, just take a moment and stop. Remember God, our strength and refuge, our ever-present helper, especially in times like these. But it's not the only thing the psalmist wants us to remember. This is also a time to stop and take a moment to remember God's promises. That's at least what I want to encourage you to think about as we look at the next part of the psalm. Let me read verses 4 to 7. There is a river. Its streams delight the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is within her. She will not be toppled. God will help her when morning dawns. Nations rage, kingdoms topple. The earth melts when He lifts His voice. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Here we get a different picture to the one that we read before. This time we get a picture of a city at peace, God's own city. And there's a river running peacefully through it. And the river and its streams bring joy to the people who live there. This river in God's city is a far cry from the frothing, roaring, surging seas in verses 2 and 3. It's not roaring and raging, but it's flowing gently, peacefully. It's not bringing destruction, but joy and gladness. There could hardly be any more difference between this peaceful river and the roaring seas from earlier. There's also a big contrast between this city and the land that was mentioned earlier. Before, the mountains are quaking and the earth is giving way. But this city is just sitting there peacefully with God sitting inside it. Earlier, the mountains are falling into the sea, but the city of God doesn't fall because God is in it. Therefore, before the earth gives way, the mountains quake and fall with nothing and no one to help them. The city of God is peaceful because God is its all-powerful helper. And He comes. Why is this city important? Because this is the city where God promises His people will live one day. It's the city that Hebrews 11 says the heroes of faith saw from a distance and welcomed. It's a city that we look forward to and even begin to receive some of the blessings of being citizens there from afar. But we never fully get there this side of eternity. It's the homeland that we seek, that our hearts truly long for, the heavenly city that God has prepared for those who put their faith in Him. The city is important because if we're following Jesus, that's where we're following Him to. That is going to be our home. And as I read this, I can't help but think of the new creation in Revelation 21. John, the Apostle John, he looks and he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, 'Look, God's dwelling is with humanity and He will live with them. They will be His peoples and God Himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying and pain, even sickness will be no more because the previous things have passed away.' Then the one seated on the throne says, 'Look, I'm making everything new.' He also said, 'Write, because the words are faithful and true.' Then he said to me, 'It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. And the one who conquers will inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. And on to chapter 22. It's a further description of this city. And it says, he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life was on either side of the river, each bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, and there will no longer be any curse. That river is truly a river that makes glad the city of God. A river that brings life and healing and never ever fails. In this world where we live now, it's a place where nations rage, where kingdoms totter, where the earth melts, where plague and pestilence stalk, where there is fear and sadness and all those negative emotions. It's a world where things just aren't the way they're supposed to be. At times like this, God makes it abundantly clear to everybody that that's the case. This just isn't the way it's supposed to be. And at times like this, it ignites something deep in our hearts that says this world is not home. It creates a longing in our hearts to be home. But none of the things that happen here can do anything to upset anything that happens in the city of God that we hope for. Here there might be raging and tottering, but God's city will not, is not, will never be moved. All the tears we shed here, God will personally wipe them away from our eyes there. They won't be there. All the hurts that we endure here, God himself will heal us from them there. We won't remember them. They won't be there. And hope of one day living in that city is a hope that comforts us when we feel troubled now. Listen to what Jesus says in John 14. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, my Father's city, there are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. So even now, for those who follow Jesus, Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for us in God's city that we've been talking about. And one day soon, he will come back and take us to be there with him. And there, when we get there with Jesus, we will receive an inheritance that is imperishable, is undefiled, unfading. God is keeping it in heaven for us. There's nothing that can happen here which is going to affect the inheritance that we're waiting for in the city of God with Jesus. And even now, while we're waiting for that time, we are being guarded by God's power through faith to actually receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus wants us to take courage now because of what we have to look forward to very soon. He wants us to know that we have a sure hope which is coming to get us through the difficulties that we face now. Peter also, when he wrote his first letter, he knew his readers were going to go through some difficult times. So he starts his letter reminding them of the hope that they have to look forward to because he knows that it's faith that God will be faithful to his promises of salvation, which will get Christians through the tough times. But that final salvation, it's not yet. And in the meantime, we entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly, knowing that he is with us, even until the end of the age. That he is the stronghold we can rest in securely while he's bringing us safely home, because he surely will. Think of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he died. You know, Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew he was about to experience one of the worst possible things you could imagine, a Roman crucifixion. Everything human in him was telling him to panic. You know, even his body was sweating drops like blood. In that time, where did Jesus go for safety and security? He goes to the true safe place. He gets on his knees and turns to God in prayer. He knows that it's God who will get him through. And Hebrews says it was focusing on the joy of the future, of the coming salvation, that helped Jesus endure the suffering that he went to. Hebrews says, for the joy that lay before him, Christ endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So why am I saying all this? At the moment, you know, right now, we don't know how long this is going to last. All we know is it won't be over tomorrow, won't be over anytime soon. The uncertainty is something that can really arouse fear in us. But while our times might be uncertain for the near to medium future, if you're following Jesus today, we know with certainty what the long-term future is going to be. And it's going to be so good that we won't even remember the difficulties of today. And if we do, God will be there with us to wipe the tears of today's difficulties from our eyes. So I guess we might look at the short-term future and fear the uncertainty, but when that fear starts rising, just stop, reflect on the sure hope of living with God in his city, a city that will never be moved or shaken, where the river of life will make you glad, where you will live with the all-loving, all-good, all-wonderful, all-powerful, wonderful God forever, where every day he will show you that he is more loving, more good, more wonderful than you ever possibly hoped. The next few weeks and months are uncertain, but if you're following Jesus today, the future is sure. And the future will be better than anything you can ever possibly imagine. And may the hope of then help you to endure now. So, when the current circumstances start to arouse fear within you, remember God, the kind of God he is. Remember his promises, but also remember what he has done, what he will do, and how he promises that the world is going to pan out. Because as this psalm finishes, it wants us to remember that God will bring an end to the enemies of his people, as he has done many times before. Reading from verse 8, it says, "Come, see the works of the Lord, who brings devastation on the earth. He makes wars cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows and cuts spears to pieces. He sets wagons ablaze. Stop your fighting and know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth." This God exalted, this Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now I guess to cut right to the chase, I think what the psalm is saying here is directed at the raging nations primarily, nations that are conspiring against God and his people. The psalm is saying to them, look what's going to happen if you try to take on God and his people. You will lose. So stop. Just stop. Be still. Realize who you're fighting against and that no matter what you do, God is going to win. It takes my mind to Revelation 20, where at the very end, all the armies, everything that's turned against God and his people, they're all lined up and they've got God's people surrounded, and it's looking very grim for God's people. But then what happens? God defeats them instantly. And it's over. There's not even a fight. That's how it's going to end. Now, we don't have a foreign army parked outside our city threatening us, but I think this is still a word for today. Because whether you take it from this text or another one, I can say with surety that God will not let his people be defeated by any enemy, ultimately. Not even a tiny little enemy that you need a microscope to see. This is the first time we've ever personally experienced something like this on this scale. But it's not the only time this has ever happened. There's been many pandemics and plagues and pestilences that have ravaged the world. But us, God's people, we are still here today. They weren't able to destroy the people of God. We read about those diseases in the history books. They're gone. God's people are still here. God, in his grace and mercy and power, brought them to an end. Now, while looking at the near future looks like a bit of an amorphous black hole, we can say for sure COVID-19 will come to an end. I don't know what kind of end it's going to come to, whether it's just one, it's going to just be another one of those diseases which is here for a time and then gone, or whether Jesus is going to come back and throw every last little one of the little bugs into the lake of fire. I don't know. Could be any number of possibilities. I don't know when it's going to end, but it will. There will be no COVID-19 in the new creation. There will be no sickness at all in the new creation. Of that much I'm sure. All Jesus' healings testify to that. His death on the cross where he bore our sicknesses testify to that. Sickness, all sickness, will come to an end. I'm not saying that we need to start preparing for life to turn back to normal now, as if God's going to zap it and stop it instantly. He might. He certainly can. He might have other plans as well. We just don't know how long this is going to go for. I'm not saying that Christians should think that we're immune to this, because we're not. You know, this disease, it doesn't discriminate. It affects believers and non-believers alike, and until we get to our heavenly home, we shouldn't expect any different. But what I am saying is that as we look back at this point of history from eternity, from our room in God's heavenly city, we will say, from eternity, there is no more COVID-19. We will say it's certainly at an end. It has been defeated. It is no longer able to raise an infection against God's people anymore. God has won. He is exalted in victory over this. And while we wait for that day, the God of hosts is with us, the one who will win that victory. He is the stronghold we can rest safely in while we wait for him to complete that victory and then bring us safely home. We live in a unique and unsettling time. You know, there's no doubt about it. It's not a pleasant time. It's just so much about it just feels inherently evil. You know, we are well and truly in the middle of what the book of James calls a trial, and in lots of ways it can leave us feeling afraid. In a lot of ways our faith is being tested. But God doesn't want us to leave us in fear. Now, one of the most common commands in the Bible is, don't be afraid. And God, being the good God he is, when he gives us a command, he also gives us what we need to obey it as well. So I guess as we feel the fear rising, how do we fight it? We see that God says, don't be afraid. But we say to him, I don't want to be afraid. What can I do to not be afraid? Well, as this psalm has said, remember three things. Remember who God is, who he is for you. He is a refuge and strength. He is a helper, always found in times of trouble. He is a stronghold. And he is with us. He's strong enough to get us through it. Remember what God's promises of salvation are for a new heavenly home. where he promises to bring everybody who believes in him, where there will be no crying or sickness or pain or death anymore. They will be gone. Remember what God's plans are for history. All these things that cause us fear and pain and suffering, they will be defeated. They will be no more. We will not be with these forever. Remember those things. As we keep wading into the muddy waters ahead of us over the next few months, not sure if there's crocs in those waters or not, let's remember those things. May we remember God's character, God's promises and plans, and may they melt the fear from our hearts and fill our spirits with power, love, and self-control. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are difficult and unsettling times. Fear is easy. Fear comes naturally. Father, as we've been talking about this morning, help us to remember you. Work in us by your Spirit and bring to mind the things that we already know. Work in us by your Spirit, bring to mind the ways that you have shown yourself to be good to us in the past. And help us to remember that you never change. Help us to remember that you are our refuge, you are our strength, that you are our helper, as you have been countless times before, and as we can count on you to continue to be in the future. Help us to remember your promises of a glorious future, and help us to hold on to those promises while we go through what we're going through now. And may they give us the strength to get through. Help us to remember your plans, that they are good, and that you will be victorious, and you will share that victory with everybody who believes in you. So, Father, watch over us, keep us. Bless us, make your face shine upon us, and help us to remember all those things over the coming weeks and months. But I guess, Father, we also, I just want to echo Pastor Tony before as well. This is a difficult time for all the world over. And we just pray that you would be pouring out your mercy and your grace over the world at the moment. We see so much pain and suffering everywhere, and it breaks our hearts. And Father, we just ask humanly that you would bring a soon end to this, but somehow you would be working out your purposes for good. And I guess ultimately we commit this whole world into your hands at this time, but we commit it into your hands, knowing that your hands are merciful. Your hands are gracious. Your hands are compassionate. Yeah. And your hands are forgiving. And so, Father, there's no one else whose hands that we'd prefer to commit this world into now. But and so we do that now. As people, there's not too much that we can do in this situation, but you can. And so, Father, be at work, we ask. And I guess may you use us to bring some of the good news of who you are and what you've done to others at this time. That we might, by telling them about you, we might be able to melt some of their fear as well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.